Hello and welcome to Weird Around Illinois. Today we're going to have one of our interview episodes where we're going to talk to somebody who has seen some things that are pretty weird in Illinois. Let's get weird. Today we're going to be talking to John. John is an associate professor of economics who spent most of his career working in the gas and electric industries before getting into teaching. And he also happens to be my brother. I have been hearing his stories for my entire life. He is more than just a little bit responsible for me going down this odd road of investigating the unexplainable. I remember watching In Search Of with John many, many years ago. He has had some experiences that he's going to share with us. And with that in mind, why don't you tell us about the first one, John?
Okay. And it does really tie in with my background working for the gas and electric utility industry, because this was... I remember the year, 1987, because that was the year of the cicadas, the 17-year cicadas. So they were all over the place around then. So 1987 is indelible. I was working my first career job for an electric and gas utility. One thing they do, when they own large power plants, particularly coal-burning power plants, they have to dispose of the ash. And the ash is just like the coal ash if you were in backyard barbecue. It's the same kind of thing. They call it fly ash with coal burning plants. And so what they do in some cases is they sluice the ash into what they call an ash pond. And it's just a very large, in fact, usually it looks more like a small lake than a pond. And they sluice it into this water-filled crevice. Well, we had one of those sites in, we had a power plant in Vermilion County, Illinois, which is in central Illinois. And one of our power plants was there. And one of my first projects, I was an engineer at the time, was to do a study on how we could expand that particular ash pond because it was filling up and they needed more space. And they ran into trouble. That particular ash pond was in a place called Orchid Hill, which was a nature preserve. They ran into trouble with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources because they said, well, this is a protected area and you have to do something. You have to, if you're gonna expand that pond, you have to do it in a way that you don't create any unnecessary shade around the orchids because we don't want them disturbed. We looked I was in a far different place back then. You have to understand is that, I think I'm a much more environmentally conscious person today than I was then. And my only thought, when we read the biological study that supported this conclusion that the agency was telling us, it essentially meant that we'd have to spend a few million dollars in extra money to make sure that we were not shading these orchids. And when we divided that by the number of orchids that they counted in our survey, We calculated that we were essentially spending $50,000 on each orchid to protect it from external shading.
Wow.
And again, me being politically incorrect as I was, all I wanted to do, and this was on a Saturday, I just wanted to go out there and see what a $50,000 orchid looked like. And so these are much more delicate and they're much more attuned to their environment. They really should not be disturbed. So anyway, with that background, I went there, and this is a remote, in spite of the fact there's a power plant there, this is relatively a remote location. It really is a heavily wooded area. I remember when my first encounter there that Saturday, I thought to myself, wow, this is like the land that time forgot. it just seemed isolated. It seemed a world unto its own. And I happened to look up, and I see these things flying around. And I said, oh, pterodactyls, you're right, it is the land of time forgot. That's what they looked like. I swear, my first reaction when I saw them, I thought, this is what pterodactyls must have looked like, because they were large, very large, and they were soaring around, and they were not flapping their wings like birds. They were gliding through the sky. Now, I took a closer look after that initial reaction, and it really was, it wasn't fear, it wasn't panic. It was more amusement. I thought, wow. Yeah, because I had just been thinking that phrase, the land of time forgotten. I look up here and I see pterodactyl-like creatures. I'm thinking, holy cats, you were more right than you thought. But then I took a closer look. But then it really did sink in. I thought, man, those birds are huge. And they looked like blackbirds. I've seen hawks and eagles gliding through the air just like they were gliding through the air, you know, hardly flapping their wings. Mm-hmm. But these did not look like hawks or eagles. These were, first of all, they were much larger. They were completely black. And they had, rather than curved beaks like hawks or eagles, they had long beaks like a blackbird. Again, I didn't think anything of it. I thought, when I finally left there that day, I thought, well, you know, they were high up there in the sky. Your brain was probably playing tricks on you or something. And I didn't give it a second thought until years later. It might have been one of those programs you mentioned. They talked about thunderbirds, and they said that these were birds, legendary birds, that Indians in the Midwest used to talk about. And there had been sightings in central Illinois. In fact, the most famous one happened 10 years earlier, and I was completely unaware of it at the time. But it happened in Alton, Illinois, where a child was actually literally picked up by one of these birds that swooped down and picked it up off the ground, like a six-year-old kid or something. Mm-hmm. And luckily, the mother heard the screaming and yelling, and she came out, and she managed to get the bird to drop the kid. And then the bird just flew away, but she saw it, and she said it was huge and described it. So I sent you a PowerPoint, which had some illustrations on it. So there's one page there I devoted to the bird sightings, and there's a picture there. I see this all the time on the internet when I look up thunderbirds, and it's a picture of what looks like a bird carcass that's upright. And that's the kind of bird I was looking at that particular day. And I don't know if, you know, I've never found an explanation for what that picture is. I'm assuming that's a bird that captured probably in the early 20th century. And, you know, this happens a lot with those Sasquatch things. These bodies mysteriously disappear when somebody's finally ready to come around with the DNA kit and test it. But that one, I vaguely recall that that's one of those bodies that got lost eventually over time and it's no longer there.
I think I may recognize it. I believe I was reading about this one a few weeks ago. This was, it was actually turned in by a bunch of cowboys in Tombstone, Arizona in the late 1800s, I want to say, mid to late 1800s. Uh-huh. And they claimed it was a dragon. They brought the carcass over, and for a while it was on display in some sort of museum there, and then it just kind of disappeared. Uh-huh. But it's exactly what you're describing. It was just these guys kind of out looking around, and they found this thing, and they brought it in, and nobody did a DNA test on it or anything because they didn't have that back then. But by the time the technology existed, it had become just a story and a picture.
Now, the other thing, I gave you a link on that page, and that link is to an actual 10-minute video that somebody took, and I think that was in Central Illinois, of a bird in flight. And again, it looked just like the bird I saw, so that was a great confirmation. Now, just as kind of a postscript to this, I lived in Maryland, which was true up until last year, and I lived there for about 12 years. There was a news story about a large bird sighting in Pennsylvania, not too far from where I live, just a couple hours away. Mm-hmm. And so my first reaction was, damn, these things are following me around. What the heck? But I think a year before I moved away, I rented a cabin intentionally. It was not in Pennsylvania, it was in Northern Maryland, not too far away, because I was hoping I'd get a second bite at the apple. And of course, this time I'd be able to snap a picture myself, but it was not, no such luck. I didn't see any big birds when I was renting that cabin up there. And then the same thing, it was like a remote wooded area, and it was not far from where that sighting in Pennsylvania was. And so I really had my hopes up. But that's it. That's my big bird encounter. And again, like I say, had it not been for happening to see that thing about thunderbirds years later, I would have just written it off as saying, well, you know, it's just my imagination or whatever. But it really caused me to take pause and say, my gosh, maybe I really saw something that year, 1987.
Now, as you mentioned, you and I came back to that site a few years later, or a year later, something like that. And I remember that being weird, that whole expedition, or that whole space. Part of it is, like you said, it's a hike. And I remember it was like 110 degrees or something that day, and it was pretty brutal. But I remember on the actual ash pond, there were these huge birds. Were those the ones that you were talking about, or was that something different? I don't remember. I don't remember what we had decided that day.
I think they must have been something different, because these these always were in flight, and they never came near the water. They were always high up in the sky.
Okay.
So I think maybe what we saw on the Ashquan might have been just some kind of aquatic bird or something.
Okay. And the ones that you saw, could you estimate a size on them, like their wingspan?
I would say, I'm not sure. I know that a lot of times when they describe those sightings, they say the birds had 10-foot wingspans. Maybe from tip to tip, maybe 10 foot would be right.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they were that large. It was hard for me to gauge the scale. They were definitely not blackbirds. They were definitely not small birds. Mm-hmm. They were definitely, I would say, larger than hawks or eagles. So I would say something in between the size of a hawk or an eagle or a vulture and something that's 10 foot wingspan, something in that range.
Did you see any animals like reacting to it?
No. These were kind of just off to themselves in an upper atmosphere there. They were just kind of soaring majestically. And like I said, they were very rarely did they even flap their wings. They were gliding, and they were just having a great old time up there by themselves, just gliding around.
Did the birds make any sounds?
Not at all. Not a sound. Not a sound.
Okay.
And that other bird picture I shared on the PowerPoint slide, the one that some settlers saw in the 1700s or 1600s or something, this bird didn't look anything like that. That looked like those guys must have been sampling some mushrooms out there.
Now, I'm sure you probably heard all the stories about the Native American mythology kind of related to the Thunderbird, and there are tribes that worship it. Do you know of any connection between the Orchid Hill area and local tribes? I mean, I know most of Illinois has some sort of connection to Native Americans.
I don't, and I should look that up someday, but that's Vermilion County, named after the Vermilion River. And Vermilion is not an Indian word, that's actually just describing, I think, the color. But I don't know, but I'm sure you're right. I'm sure there's probably some Native American tribe that once existed in that area.
Yeah, because what we find a lot of times in encrypted reports, and this is the first time we've ever really investigated a Thunderbird account. We've talked about it when we talked about Native American mythology, but when we've investigated other things like Bigfoot or Dogman or something like that, there's almost like this protectiveness to it. It's like they're linked to like an Indian burial ground or some sacred site or something, and these creatures are seen around that site, and it's almost like they're warning people off. Did you have any sense of foreboding or any sense of warning or anything like that?
Not at all. I just if anything, the bird, like I said, they actually looked kind of majestic up there, and I was kind of in awe. I never felt threatened. I never felt in danger. Never felt that the birds were intentionally trying to be menacing or hostile. And I was just in awe as I was looking at them up there. I thought, wow, I've never seen birds like that before.
And I know you've spent a lot of time in central Illinois. You've never seen anything like it again, right?
Never. Well, I'll take that back. Shortly before I moved away from central, from Illinois, I was actually living in northern Illinois at the time. But when I moved away in 2007, I think it was about a year or two earlier, I rented a cabin, and this was in the kind of in the Kankakee area. It was in the far south suburbs, and it was a heavily wooded area. I had no intention. The birds were the furthest thing from my mind. But when I was there those three nights, I didn't see them soaring in the sky, but I saw a lot of birds in the upper trees, and it just jogged my memory. Because they were big birds, and I don't know if they were as big as what I saw in central Illinois, but they were very big. And it just jogged my memory, and it caused me to recollect that whole central Illinois experience, because I thought, well, maybe this is where they're nesting, I don't know. But I think it was Kankakee National Park, I can't remember, but it was a far south suburbs. It was more northern Illinois than central Illinois. Probably if it hadn't been for that earlier experience I'd had in 1987, I wouldn't have given it a second thought. But when I looked up there and saw those large birds, I remembered the birds I saw in Central Illinois and thought, I wonder if this is the same birds. I wonder if this is where they roost.
Were you able to see if there was like a similar color to them by chance?
I think they were black. Yeah, I think that's why it kind of jogged my memory, because these were also black feathered birds.
Okay. I wonder if they're like kids or something. Yeah, maybe like a baby Thunderbird of some kind.
Yeah, those birds were noisy, unlike the ones I saw soaring in central Illinois. These birds were making a racket. Maybe because they thought they were at home, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to be curious to hear if these things keep following you around the country.
Yeah, I'm worried enough about the rattlesnakes and the scorpions. I don't need to have to worry about big birds.
All right. Well, thanks very much for the story. And we love weird stories around Illinois. And Thunderbirds are something we've wanted to talk about for a long time. So we've added that to our list of things to look for when we're out and about.
Yeah, soon we got to take an even deeper dive into research on this particularly. So
yeah. It's certainly something we're going to be on the lookout for.